You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard worldwide on the web on the WWBC app. You just hit the on-demand button and you'll see a little thing that says live. Just hit that button and you can hear us. I'm so grateful today that I don't have allergies acting up. Thank you, Lord.
So not everybody's looking at you, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's all this social distancing that I'm doing, keeping my bottom at home, not running around this whole town doing this and doing that.
And being everybody's trees.
Yeah.
You know, all the oak trees, because the pollen is still really high.
Yeah. So we have an action-packed show today. Ellen Little is here co-hosting with me, and my good friend Joe Shimp, who I met at the League of Women Voters, is here.
Pleased Welcome. To be here. Thank you.
You look great in your butterfly shirt.
Thank you.
I know, that is a beautiful shirt.
Yeah. Actually, we need butterflies right now.
Oh, we do.
We do.
And there's plenty of them around.
Well, yeah, butterflies always make you feel alive, doesn't it? And
Definitely.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Right? And we're going to be joined on the phone, the second segment, by our other good friend, Linda Miewenberg. Linda is the CEO of Professional Development Association, and she's going to be calling in to talk about dental care, infection control, and what we can do during this coronavirus pandemic, what dentists are doing, dental hygienists are doing, and how we can protect ourselves. And Joe will be joining her in that segment as well. Ellen, we have a great first segment planned as well. You know that I was very blessed to have met the singer Billie Eilish and her mom. And I saw that they had posted something on Facebook where she was going to be feeding the healthcare workers in LA during this horrible pandemic, this COVID-19, aka coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so I responded to that Facebook post, and I'm just amazed at how well she motivates so many of us to do things. And so I wrote that she motivates me, because when I see people in their stature doing so much for humanity, it motivates me to do more as well. And so I reached out and I said, I'd love to have you on my show talking about that. And so she's going to call in this morning.
I mean, let's face it, to have two kids at the same Grammy show.
Yes.
You have
amazing.
To have. That's pretty
and
amazing.
And might I add, two kids who were homeschooled.
Correct. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that as well.
And what's happening today, you know, yesterday I put out a text to about 20 friends of mine whose children are going to start homeschooling today because of social distancing and the coronavirus. And they sent me a whole lot of questions for Maggie Baird for when she calls in, Billie Eilish's mom and Phineas's mom. I like to say Phineas as well, because I don't think he gets a credit.
Phineas. Yep.
Right? Phineas.
Phineas.
I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves as well. And they're a dynamic duo, those kids. They're just so gifted and brilliant and
Maggie,
compassionate kids.
And Maggie Baird is certainly a name for herself, considering all the things that she's doing as being an activist, as well as making sure that she has fantastic family.
Yes, yes. And, you know, of course, my little Madison adores Billie Eilish.
Yes.
So she's going to be calling in from L.A. this morning if she has time. That's what we said. If you have time, you'll call in.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, my 20 friends that I sent out a text to, some of them wrote me back things like, well, you know, how do you know homeschooling is for you? How do you know what to do with the kids? I mean, some people don't even have computers. Some children were getting food, a hot meal at school, and now they're not. People had so many questions about this transition, and some people felt as though homeschooling is a bit accelerated versus traditional public schools. One of my friends wanted to know, how do you know if it's a good fit? And another one, people are saying, well, most parents are not qualified teachers. So people had a lot of concerns. And I thought, well, Maggie Baird, raised two awesome kids, mm-hmm. and she homeschooled them.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get some tips about that in addition to what they're doing with the healthcare workers. You know, so I thought it'd be a great show today.
But just like we were talking about before we went on air, and Joe was included in that, about, you know, this is the time that you can talk to your kids about home budgeting and, you know, home economics and all of those things.
You can make cooking a science activity.
Like,
you know,
we did.
How does that?
Well, like we did.
How
before.
Does bread rise, for instance? You know, it's yeast, and they're making carbon dioxide, and that's what's making it rise. So
you,
it can all
be
a science
good
activity.
Homeschooling mom.
Yeah, but anybody, that's the
my
point.
My husband
is,
won't be a good homeschooling dad because he can't even turn on a computer to save his life. You know.
Yeah, but he'll teach everybody how not to do it. He'll teach everybody
gardening.
About gardening.
He'll teach
yes.
gardening.
And how, and that's an amazing trait as well. And right now that there's been a boost in home gardening as well, of people thinking about growing their own food and certainly experimenting with that. And once again, that can be a homeschool
activity,
type of activity or project. Yeah.
Well, so what? So
I mean,
so
I put enough carrots
before,
in water, didn't you? Like when you were a kid.
Oh,
and
yes,
potatoes.
Yes.
And
so before Maggie calls in, we have some time. So Joe, the three of us are going to chat a little bit. What have you learned from the coronavirus? Because what I'm learning is, at some point, this is nature that's teaching all of us to stop, think, look, listen, and feel. Stop the hatred. Stop the racism. Stop the discrimination. Stop using code words to hurt people. And people know who does that. We're not stupid anymore. A lot of us read and we understand. I'm just saying, look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. We want food. We want water. We want shelter. We want an affordable house. What else?
Yes, and I think this is a good time for everybody to come together. And I think it's a good time to think, for everybody to think about what is good for the health of others, because we all have to follow the directives that we've been given, because it's not only to protect ourselves, it's to protect everybody else. So social distancing, you know, stay at home if you've been instructed to do that. Don't go out unless you really, really need to, and just keep everything to the minimum. And then try and do those things that make you feel good around the house. I've been doing a lot of gardening, which I needed to do, but everything in my yard is definitely looking better, and a lot more needs to be done. But it's been nice to, in a way, to have this downtime. Maybe in a few weeks I'll be fed up with it, but it's very nice. And I just wanted to add, if there's something you really want to do for the community, one thing you can do, it's something you can do at any time, but it's really important now, and that is to give blood. So our local blood company, One Blood, is actually, they're doing outreach today at Publix, but they have, you can make an appointment and you can go. So you will, it will just be you. You don't have to stand in a line. And your blood can be used for so many things. The red blood cells are used as packed cells. The plasma is used as fresh frozen plasma. The platelets are taken off and used for cancer patients or for anybody who needs platelets. So just that one donation can make a lot and save lots of difference to a lot of people and save many lives.
Right.
And you can actually make those appointments right online at oneblood.org.
Yes.
It's all,
very easy.
All spelled
right.
out.
Right.
O-N-E-B-L-O-D.
And the other thing, too, if somebody's home and they're bored while your children are doing their homework and you're doing online classes, they could go and look up the League of Women Voters and fill out an application. People need help. We need volunteers. We need people to volunteer for different committees. We need a little change if you have, whatever it is. There's so many people in Brevard that are doing great things for the community.
And students can still join the League of Women Voters for free this year. And actually, we have a youth voter registration grant. And we're actually looking for a student now, somebody who can help us do social media for that grant. Because we're now, when we can't go out into the community, we're having to do everything differently. So we're looking for different, making different choices for the grant money that we've got. And we think that doing a social media campaign may be the best way to use the grant money that we have. But we would really like to have youth who are members of the league doing that for us.
Right.
So that opportunity is there.
And the other thing too, Ellen, you know, we've had a lot of our friends who've been on the show, people who are in healthcare, who have expressed to us through text and email that they don't have enough personal protection equipment. And we were just talking about this virus, that it's spread on your shoe, your clothes, your hand, whatever.
Yeah, and when we talk about PPE, we're talking about masks and gloves and stuff. We're not talking about guns.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about
protection.
Masks and gloves and gowns and, you know, things like that.
And shields, too, the face shields.
But, and also, like Joe was saying, thank a healthcare worker as well, because people are leaving their families. They're going to take care of your loved ones and our loved ones in nursing homes and hospitals, emergency care settings and clinics and stuff. And people are worried about their families. And for the people who are out there dancing on the boats and crammed into on the beaches and stuff, we're in this together. It doesn't matter who you are. As one, we need to change our behaviors and our attitudes. And for once, listen to the experts, because they've been through this before. And they know what they're saying. So I think it's a small price to pay to socially distance ourselves and wash our hands and pay attention to what we're doing. If we have to do it for 1 or 2 months, so what? Just do it. Enjoy your mortgage payments and stay home.
We'll look back and say, well, it was different. But really, in the whole span of things, it wasn't a long set of time, but right now it looks like it's going to go on forever. But really, when we look back, we'll just see that as a little sort of blip, a little incident, you know. So,
and just think about the months that we spent in during hurricane season, where we did it without electricity and without the internet, and you know, all of those things. So we were forced to do it back then. The shelves were empty back then of the same things. So Floridians, we're kind of already gauged for this. So we should be doing better than we are. Actually.
Well, like Paul was saying
other
earlier,
than the beaches being closed, I
we've
think that's
had
the only thing that's different.
Like Paul was saying before, we've had instances before where we've had pandemics, right?
Oh yes.
And how did the world deal with it then? We certainly didn't have social media where people were watching people dance and do things that they shouldn't be doing. But people listen. And another thing too, you have to have good leadership. You know, we all want somebody, you know, that we could respect, that has integrity, that are saying the right things at the right time, because people are listening. And you were saying earlier that even in the state of Florida, we need leadership in Tallahassee as well.
We do,
and
yes.
And we were talking about what some of our friends are doing to speak with the governor so that people the amongst us, the elderly, the disabled, people who are in, you know, the homeless. We have folks that are saying shelter in place, but what if you don't have a place to shelter in place? Where are you going to go? And this is where good leadership takes over. And we know that we have people that actually care, not just about those who are rich and famous and those who are working and are able to pay taxes and all that, but there's people amongst us who are living paycheck to paycheck or are homeless.
Yes, and it's really frightening to be in this situation if you've lost your job, for instance, because you really don't know where, you know, your money is going to come from. And hope, you know, the government is helping us out with that. But, you know, I fear that a few, you know, many people are going to be financially in a very difficult situation. So we all need to band together to help them out.
And Brevard County is a hospitality county. I mean, it's all restaurants and hotels and so forth. So a lot of our population deals with their paycheck to paycheck type of mentality, because they get tips every day, and it's money that they've, you know, unfortunately, some of them are young and maybe didn't have the thought or didn't have the idea that a rainy day was going to come. So they're having a tough time figuring that part of it out. But I know a lot of the employers, especially the local employers, are trying to do their part in trying to make it right as best as possible. But this is the time, if you've ever gotten a charity donation from one of these restaurants, especially a local place, this is the time to pay back, because there's a lot of places that are still open for to-go orders. And, you know, this just kind of keeps the economy going.
Right.
Well, and
so,
also,
like Publix and Winn-Dixie and all those places, they're going to survive.
That's right. But
you know,
what
Applebee's,
about the check? I put up a Facebook post. I guess Maggie got busy, so let's just keep talking, Joe. So I put up a text the other day about if you get this government check, the $1,200 that people are going to be getting, and you don't need it, then by all means, go ahead and donate it to a place that can use it.
I think that's a really good idea.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And so, and what about now, we're all talking about healthcare. What about the people that don't have Medicaid, the people who cannot afford private insurance? You and I, Joe, we're on the healthcare committee for the League of Women Voters. And we have talked extensively about the people that falls into the gap.
Right. And, you know, it's the people we've been talking about, the people who work in hospitality, who work in agriculture. Those are the people that unfortunately don't have access to healthcare,
right,
and may not be making enough to actually be able to get insurance under the Affordable Care Act.
Right. And but how do we fix that? I mean, now people are coming together. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, everybody are coming together and they're saying, well, maybe we should have been looking at this all along. You know, don't wait till something happens. Don't, don't be proactive instead of reactive. Because there's a lot of folks that can't even afford to buy a nasal spray or allergy medication, much less to pay for health insurance.
Yes, and what I was hearing is, whereas the testing for COVID-19 is free, the treatment is not. So you may get tested, find that you're positive, have to go to the hospital, and then have to bear the burden of that huge hospital bill at the end of that.
Or even if you're tested and they tell you to go home and socially isolate yourself, you still have to buy Gatorade. You have to buy gloves.
Yes.
You have to buy toilet paper, which don't even get me started on the toilet paper stuff, right? But if you don't have money, if you don't have a job, if you don't have extra disposable income around the house for all that, you can't do it.
Right. It's very, really, really,
you can't
really,
even buy over-the-counter ibuprofen or Flonase or anything you need to take care of yourself.
Right. And so many people live paycheck to paycheck that it really is.
So
we understand a lot. It can be really difficult for many people.
So, Joe, we were talking before the show as well about the census. I
yes.
put up a post this morning about the census, and I said people need to go in their mail. I mean, it came in the mail that, you know, if you wanted to get involved in the census, is fill it out online or they'll send you a printed copy. So I went online this morning and I was surprised it took me 3 minutes to fill it out. Why do you think a lot of people are not filling out the census?
I think quite a few people in the county have already, but, you know, it's a good thing we've got all this extra downtime right now. When you get your letter, it's a good thing just to get on the computer immediately and fill it in. As Sita said, it only takes a few minutes, and it is so important because that information that the federal government gets will be used to do things like say how many representatives we have in Congress, how much funding the state of Florida gets for all social services, and that can really affect everybody in Florida if, people don't comply and fill in their census, because all our numbers are going to be, they're going to be less than they
right.
should
and
be.
It also determines how much money comes into your state.
Yes.
Your, the county, locally as well. So I implore people, don't be afraid of filling it out. I think there's an area there, too, that asks how many people are living in your home. And I do feel as though the undocumented people are afraid as well to fill out that census, because maybe they're afraid that ICE will come into their homes, knock on the doors, and drag a mom or a dad or a person away.
My understanding, it is completely separate. This is just about the numbers living in the country. So please, I would say, please, everybody, fill it in, whatever your status is, just fill it in, because we need to have those numbers to be accurate to get the funding that the state, I mean, we are pitifully short of funding in the state of Florida, so we don't want to lose anything that we're entitled to. So it's really important that those all the censuses are filled in. And if you have a little extra time, I believe they are still asking for people to volunteer to work. I think it's quite well paid. I think it's $15 or $16 an hour for the census.
Yes.
And, I think it would be an interesting job for a couple of months. So if you have time, or actually more than a couple of months, so if you have the time and you like working, obviously there will be no going from house to house right now, but in future months, maybe they'll do a lot of it by phone now. But if you have the time, definitely sign up to help with the census, because they still need people to help.
So, Ellen, I'm going to take this time to say, I wonder if we told Maggie Bear it was Eastern time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. I know, I think I did.
Yeah.
I normally do, but that's okay. We'll keep talking because we have a lot to talk about.
Yep.
So let's give a shout out today, Joe and Ellen, to our teachers, our administrators, and our parents who home today with their children. Because if the experts don't find a cure for the coronavirus, parents will.
Parents are going to find
it. At some point, parents will, right? So, I mean, because people are scrambling. How do you homeschool your children if you have a job? I mean, you have to have a schedule. You have to have a parent at home to make sure they're doing their homework. So what advice do we have for parents out there who are doing this remotely? And a shout out to all the administrators who have been scrambling all week to make sure the lesson plan gets online. So, Joe, I know you have children. I have children. Let's go. What if you were home with the kids, what would you do?
I would be tearing my hair out. There was a time because when I was a young stepmom and the holidays came, I just thought, am I going to make it this year? Because we had one girl and three boys. So it was
a challenge.
I think Maggie's calling in now. So because we just got a text that people were waiting to hear from her. Hi, Maggie. I think today we're going to hold all our commercials because you called in. So thank you so much for calling in from California. Yeah. For our friends who are tuning in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, this is Sita Biggie. Ellen Little is here. Joe Shin.
Hello.
And we have Maggie Baird, who's calling in. She is the mother of the superstars, Billie Eilish
and Phineas.
Phineas. I know Ellen likes to say his name. She says it the right way. Thank you for taking the time to call in, Maggie. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in L.A.
I'm sorry I called in late. I was thinking it was L.A. time, 1 o'clock, and not...
we thought maybe that might happen.
We thought that because you are a super-duper friend, and I appreciate everything you write about the children, and we support you, and thank you for sharing them with all of us in this world, really.
Oh, well, I'm very lucky to be their mom.
So tell us, what's going on in L.A. right now? You're working on feeding healthcare workers, you and Billy. I saw you teamed up with vegan restaurants, and I wish I was there because I would help cook with you as well. Tell us what you guys are doing.
Well, we created an organization called Feed and Support, which really is just linking the vegan restaurants in California with people who can pledge through the vegan restaurants, and then the vegan restaurants are cooking food to take to healthcare workers, sheltered, women's centers, everyone on the front lines, people in need who are suffering extra. And so it just makes a direct way for people to be able to support that and take it through the vegan restaurants so that they get the benefit of being able to stay open as well, because they get the income coming through them, and then they make the food, and then we make sure it gets delivered safely to the appropriate places.
Well, we're already hungry here. We wish we could be there to help you. So, and who's helping you in this to help to deliver the meals and all that? How are you coordinating all of that? Do you have foot soldiers helping?
We are so lucky. The organization is called Feed and Support. You can look it up, Feed and Support. And it, a friend of mine who's an incredible event planner, Rose Forbes, she jumped in to help me. We got an organization called Conscious Cleanup, which is an environmentally conscious organization which works on movie sets, et cetera, to make sure they're eco-friendly. And they're doing the coordinating with the hospitals, et cetera, and they're delivering the food and coordinating with the restaurants. And actually, Billy's record label, Darkroom, they volunteered some people to help with the website, and a restaurant called Nick's on Beverly, they helped us coordinate with all the vegan restaurants. So, you know, it was a group effort. The minute I mentioned I had the idea, people just jumped on, and everyone was like, well, I got nothing to do this week. Let me do this. So it's been kind of amazing. We got it up and running within 6 days. So that was pretty fast from idea to execution.
Yeah, because I saw you had posted it on Facebook that you were thinking about doing something, and then a few days later, it had taken off. And I'm like, wow, that was pretty fast. But it seems as though people will wait. I think people just wait for one person to come up with a really good idea, and then they all fall in line. So basically, you guys had the idea.
Yeah, the idea, you know, the idea came because I tried to do it myself. I just thought, well, I'll order some food, and that'll support one of my favorite restaurants, and then I'll have it sent to a place in need. But when I tried to do it myself, I realized it wasn't I did it. I succeeded, but I realized there were a lot more things that you needed to think about, you know, like, could the organization handle it? Was the restaurant prepared to take a large order? Because restaurants are really struggling. In fact, one of our restaurants on the site has already gone out of business, at least temporarily. You know, it's a really hard time for restaurants. And it's really sad when there are so many people that need the food. So, you know, taking it through the restaurants is kind of our way to help both organizations, both groups of people at the same time.
Right, and I noticed that Billy, sometimes she is a vegan like you, and my husband and my children are vegetarians, but they're not vegan, so more power to you, because we want to stop eating meat, and we're going to try, it's just that I make such delicious curry chicken, it's kind of hard to give it up right now. And I told you
You know what, you can... I'm sure, Sita, I'm sure your delicious curry tofu would be just as good.
Right, and I do make curry potatoes. I do make that. And I did tell you that if you ever come to Florida, I'd love to make that Persian dish with the lentils and rice and raisins for you and Billy and Phoenix and the family. Phoenix, I know Ellen is correct in my the way I say his name. But I see that Billy often goes on social media and she talks about being a vegan, and a lot of people really, really appreciate it because she really opens up our eyes to the treatment of animals. Did that come from you, or was that something? I'm sure it came from you, but what gives her that drive and that energy to keep going with that cause?
Well, you know, we raised our kids always vegetarian, and then everyone became a vegan. But, you know, we certainly explained why along the way. It wasn't arbitrarily enforced on them. It was, you know, a philosophy that we really believed in. But then I believe, really, Billy has come to it much more strongly on her own as well. You know, if your mind is open to it and you see the devastation of the planet, and you hear the scientists speak about how that is related to the diet that so many Americans have, which is so meat-centric. And then also you see the videos of animals and the cruelty, and it's just not something you can participate in. Once your eyes are opened, you know, there's nothing as strong as a belief. And once you realize why the diet, vegan diet, is the healthier one for the planet and the cruelty-free one for the animals, when you believe that, it's really easy to follow.
And, you know, I grew up in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm Hindu, and that's our religion, not to eat meat, of course. And, of course, I got away, and I'm trying my best not to anymore. But my husband loves animals, and he says you can see the soul of an animal through the eyes. So he can't imagine that how people... eat the animals as well. But, you know, when we look at what Billy is doing and your lovely son as well, it brings to mind the peace and the unity that your family have. How can other families develop what your family's got? It's just every time we see the kids, that I call them the dynamic duo, they're so kind and they're so loving. How can other people work towards striving to getting that same in their homes and in our communities and in our world?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd say that like any family, we're not perfect. Every moment isn't a peaceful, you know, perfect dream. But it's kind of the way you deal with those moments, I think, and your overall philosophy. So I think our overall philosophy was, as parents, that we, first of all, wanted to spend as much time as possible with our kids. You know, we waited a long time to have kids, and we really wanted to be with them. So I think in general, spending as much time together as possible, being supportive of your kids' individual interests. We participated in a philosophy called nonviolence, which is nonviolent communication, just started by Marshall Rosenberg. That was really important for us, which was just learning to communicate with each other based on the idea that we all have the same basic needs in life, and that everything we do is a strategy for meeting our needs, and that if we can find a way to help each other meet their needs and give a lot of empathy to each other, then we can all eventually meet our needs in ways that don't hurt each other. So that was kind of our parenting philosophy. And you know, our kids have said many times that looking at their childhood, you know, which wasn't rife with a lot of money or the things that can get you, instead, it was just their parents' time and attention, which is what they wanted and which they received. And, you know, we had a lot of fun in our house and our backyard. We have a lot of friends, and we just focused on really what they were interested in and letting them be creative and letting them explore their interests and helping them explore their interests. And, you know, if they had a question, we tried to find a way to answer it and find a fun thing to do related to it. So,
well, I must say, Ellen and I were saying earlier that your family certainly had an overflowing amount of talent in that household. But we're going to transition a little bit away from that. And I sent a text out last night to a few of my friends, and I said, well, you were going to be calling in. And everybody wanted to know how you raised two wonderful children, so compassionate and brilliant, and you homeschooled. So they asked me to ask you a little bit about homeschooling, and how does one know that homeschooling is for their child?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways to homeschool. There's as many different ways to homeschool as there are different parenting styles. So I can kind of only speak to the one that we approached. And, you know, I tend to think it would be good for most children. We certainly had a very vast social life, which I know is a bit harder for people right now. But, you know, we had park days and field trips and gatherings and group classes and organized dances. You know, we sort of had all the kind of social activities you could want, and we took advantage of how our community in California, we're very lucky. Of course, we have world-class science centers and world-class choirs and all kinds of activities. But, you know, basically the philosophy we followed was exploring what your children's natural curiosity and interest, where that took them. And so rather than focusing on a rigid, you must learn this by this and this by this, we took advantage of everyone's natural curiosity and really pursued the things that interested them when they were interested in them. And then also did a thing called strewing. We sort of strewed strings in their path so that they would encounter them. For example, our house was full of musical instruments because we both loved music, and so we had lots of musical instruments. Very few children are going to discover music if they don't have a musical instrument in their house. So having a keyboard or a piano or a guitar or a ukulele or a drum or pots and pans when they're little, these are the ways kids start to make music. And then playing music, dancing with them. These are the ways that they'll start to discover these things. Also, we had art books that we put around and pictures of art we put on the walls, even things you print up from the internet. And then we talk about them at dinner, like, oh, wow, look at that painting. Wow, what's that called? What do you think they're doing there? So we just strewed things in their path. We also did a lot of cooking together and a lot of building in the backyard and a lot of making things. And then when you're doing those things, you're covering all the basics of math and lots of the principles of physics. So, you know, when you approach life as being full of opportunities to learn, you realize they are there and you just capitalize on them. Of course, now there's also amazing apps and programs like Duolingo and languages, and you can watch Shakespeare online.
Yeah,
you know,
and they have the Khan Academy and all the math things. So my friend Jo is shaking her head to every word you say. But you know what? My son Michael would have loved living in your home, because poor fella, every time he would pick up a guitar or he wanted a drum set, we would say too much noise in the house. And now I feel so terrible because our house, my husband always wanted the house to be quiet and peaceful. And I wish there were ways that we could have done what you did. We could have just done it in the backyard, like you say. You know, utilize the backyard to play music and all that. So I have to apologize to him at this point. But, of course, with remote learning, too, and online learning, it's a little bit different now for people who want to help. But what did you do when you had to go to work? I mean, the swapping of the childcare and raising of the kids, did your husband help, or did you have friends that stepped in? Because that seems to be an issue now with so many people who are being laid off because of the coronavirus. People are trying to hold on to their jobs so they can have a little change coming in. How does parents cope with that?
Well, if you're lucky enough to have two parents in the house, then I do. You know, what we did was we did trade off. You know, if I had a job, we made sure Patrick was available. eventually when, or vice versa, when they got older and Patrick had a job at that time that was more full-time and I was still more of a part-time actor and teacher, you know, we would trade off with friends. You know, friends would watch my kids and I would watch their kids. Mostly we did it between the two of us. Of course, now that's really hard. I would say, if at all possible, parents working from home would take shifts. You know, one would maybe work for the morning and one would work in the afternoon, or just find ways to trade off so that you're not super stressed. Because one of the stresses of working and parenting in general, homeschooling or not, I think, is trying to do the two things at the same time, you know, and feeling like you're not doing either one of them very well.
Yes.
So if you can have one parent who's focused, like, I need 4 hours to work on this project, and then trade off, or if your kids are really, if they're of an age where you can, then maybe you go, okay, the screen time period where we've focused on what you're going to be doing, that's going to be this period. That's when I'm going to get my work done. I will say, though, it's important for parents to keep an eye on what's happening in the screen time because, you know, there's a lot of scary stuff on the Internet, and it's pretty easy to find it. So, you know, paying attention, being available, also making sure your kids and yourself are taking breaks from it, you know, every 45 minutes, getting up, running around, doing some exercises, taking a physical break, going outside if it's at all possible. So there's always needs to be some monitoring, but, you know, trading off as much as possible, even maybe having an older kid, you know, look after a younger one for a little bit of time so you can get some work done, so that you're not just always feeling like you're being pulled in two directions. And then when it comes to things that have to be done, like cooking and cleaning up after it, that's definitely time to involve the family. Give people jobs. Little kids love to do things like cut up mushrooms, you know, things that are easy to cut and safe, you know. Give them jobs. They love to do those jobs. Little kids love to do dishes. They may not do them very well. You may have to redo them, but at least it's an activity.
Yeah, so it's all about communication and getting and staying involved. I also went online and I did buy the coloring book. And I think this is a good time.
Good.
If you want, yeah, I did. So if you wanted to, it was on Billy's store, and I'm going to go back later and get one of the shirts, and I saw some other things, but I'm like, let me just get the coloring book for now, and I shared it with my 20 friends and my texts, and they're all going to do it as well. So maybe, I think we have 1 minute left, maybe you could share the website with us. And before, go ahead. We have one more question for you that just came through.
On BillieEilish.com, they have a store, and I think that's where it is. See, I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, I think that was,
Yeah, and they Billy has a coloring book now that you can actually download and print up at home, and you make a donation for it, and all the donation goes to UNICEF. And or you can order the hard copy of the coloring book, the official copy, and that'll be mailed to you. All that profit also goes directly to UNICEF. While you're on there, there's also a puzzle. That'll be a fun thing to do at home. So check it out. I think she's made a very large amount of money already for UNICEF there. So, and it's a great, fun project to do at home.
Well,
color together.
Well, with the 1 minute left, somebody just texted me and asked me to ask you, what in a 30-second, if you can, what should we be telling each other? What life lessons are we learning from this coronavirus? I said earlier on the show that I think, you know, the coronavirus does not discriminate. It's coming for everybody who doesn't listen right now to the experts. What would you say to someone right now who says, what should I be doing?
Well, obviously staying home, being super careful with food deliveries, et cetera, taking every single precaution to stay well. It's important not only for you and your family and your loved ones, but so that we don't spread it to other people and overtax our hospitals. And I think from being home, we can learn so much about being together, loving each other. I've had some wonderful FaceTime conversations with old friends and, you know, really delighted in the amount of time you can spend on things. Not to rush through our lives so much. Take more time with your kids at meal times, playing games. Just the gift that we've been given, those of us who are staying home. Of course, it's so sad for those who are suffering, so hard for those who are working so hard. For those of us who are managing to stay at home, I know there's financial stress involved, but while we're home, try to involve our families and love being with them. Of course, we're also helping the planet with this time at home, and I hope when it all, when we all come through this that we can make some changes that will continue to help the planet. Maybe we'll all stay home a little bit more, work from home more.
And enjoy your mortgage payments for a change, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, would you please, would you be so kind to tell Billy on her Instagram, I always say your Florida family when I message. I love her Instagram, and I just love what she's doing, and I love how beautiful she is and what calm she's brought to our earth and her love for the animals. And tell her she's changing so many people's minds to stop eating meat, including myself, which one day I swear I will give up that chicken. I promise you. But anyway,
Maggie Bear, thank you.
Just do it. All it takes is a decision.
I'm going to do a challenge.
We're in Florida.
I'm going to do it as a challenge. I'll put it on my Facebook.
We started our tour in Florida. We did get our 2 dates in Florida before we had to shut down. But it was a crazy time. It was very stressful, but we were happy to see Florida finally. But, we love you all, and please, everyone, take care of yourself. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
Enjoy your families. Stay safe.
Okay,
and thank you so much for all the information as well.
I'm sending a socially distanced hug for you and your family.
Okay, you too. I'm sorry I was late again. Sorry I forgot that we had a time difference.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, much love. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so now we have our second segment with Linda Meewenberg. We'll take a 30-second break, and then we'll call her.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510. We're also on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And we're online. Ellen, thank you so much for helping out with that segment right there. I know I had a funny feeling that somehow the time got mixed up, because usually if I have a guest calling in from L.A. or...
Yeah, we have to remind them Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Time, yeah. You know, because we think that everybody remembers that our show is Eastern Time. So for our guests and our listeners who are tuning in, we did give Maggie Beard the time that I had said 20 minutes. And so we did that, and we gave Joe her time. So we were good. We were fine.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun things to talk about. And we did thank our teachers and administrators and everyone who's homeschooling our children because of this dreadful disease. But now we have our friend Linda Meewenberg, who is socially distancing herself and following rules and regulations. And she's at home, and she's calling in to chat a little bit about dental care and what we should be doing during this dreadful time. So, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sita. Hi, Ellen. Hi, Joe. Glad to be here.
Well, tell our listeners a little quick tidbit about yourself before we get started.
Well, I began my career back in 1968 as a registered dental hygienist, and from there continued on with my schooling while I was practicing. Ended up with a degree in education and found myself teaching dental hygiene and nursing, and from there went on to acquire 2 master's degrees, and I've done a lot of different things. I taught at Ferris State University dental hygiene program, directed the program, coordinated the clinic activities, and I have no idea how they are teaching clinic working with patients from home because the university is closed right now.
Well, you know, this morning when I was typing up the show, I thought about so many things. I thought about infectious diseases. I thought about how dangerous COVID-19 is, not just for the elderly, But for so many people, I thought about the rate of the complications. And then I said, oh, I remember Linda and I had talked about cleanliness is next to godliness. And we had talked about it, our parents, all of us come from such different backgrounds, but we all had that in common where our mothers believed in washing up and keeping the place clean. And you and I talked about that last week, and I want you to talk a little bit about cleanliness and why it's so important.
Well, I think even today it's way more important than what our mothers taught us. They instilled that original value. But our world has changed. Our environment has changed. We've created environments for much more dangerous organisms to live in. You know, we've destroyed a lot of the natural ecosystem which protected us before, and so we have increased the ability to get diseases, not only to us, but to our crops that we didn't have when my mother was giving me this advice. So I think cleanliness is crucial when you look at the bacterial world and the biofilms that they form, where they can morph into different kinds of structures until we get in there and disrupt them. And it's very true within the mouth, but it's true in our whole environment. They really have the ability to change themselves when we introduce an antiseptic or an antibiotic, and we have to be very aware of that.
So what role does oral health play in overall wellness? Because when we talk about cleanliness, what people are thinking, well, you know, mop the houses, clean the bathrooms, make the bed, wash the dishes, but we're not thinking about oral health and healthcare in general. Now, you and I have talked about how many diseases are associated with poor oral health.
Well, I will point back to 2010, 10 years ago, when our Surgeon General put out the statement, you are not healthy without good oral health, which started a big initiative nationally to raise awareness about why it's so important to keep our oral health healthy, if you will, because so many things live in our mouth. Digestion begins in the mouth. What if our saliva is reduced because we're on a medication that causes as a side effect to have saliva reduced? That increases us to have more cavities, more periodontal and gum diseases, because there's actually the body's natural antibiotic in the saliva and also a buffer for acids that are formed in the mouth. So we are swallowing these things. They're going through our blood system. So when you have an inflammation in your gums, in the bone around the teeth, it travels throughout the whole body, including the heart, all the organs, and all of those are subject to become infected with these foreign bodies. And so we need to keep those out of our mouth. We need to clean in between our teeth. We need to do this on a regular basis. It does not take long for the bacteria to form a protective shield around themselves. So I think now everybody is so aware about washing their hands and the things that they're touching. Be very aware of that with your mouth. I mean, look at your babies and your children. Babies naturally put everything in their mouth.
Well, I know Joe has another question. We have another question for you from Joe is going to ask you.
So, Linda, why is it, why are dental offices only seeing emergency patients during this time of the COVID epidemic?
Well, I think that's a very smart move by dental offices. Some were doing it sooner than others were. I understand as a small business, it's very difficult for an office to close to their patients in their regular schedule. However, there are a lot of aerosols that are created in a dental office, not only by the dental hygienist, but by the dentist. And those aerosols can linger in the air. So if you're dealing with someone that has an infectious disease, it's in the air around the patient, around the practitioner that's providing care to them. As you dismiss one patient, another one comes into, it's like almost an invisible barrier. You can't see it, so you don't know that you just walked into an area where there was a bacterial load from somebody sneezing, from an aerosol, from having your teeth polished or prepared for a crown. So I'm really proud of the dental profession, because back when the AIDS epidemic started in the 80s, we went to universal precautions, meaning treat every patient as if they're infected with the AIDS virus. So we've been doing this in dental care. We're just taking one extra step.
Yeah. So there really isn't any difference now with the COVID-19 virus than what the professionals have been doing.
I think your dental office is one of the safest places you can be if they're following the proper protocol, which I'm assuming they are. You know, I taught infection control. I know how rigid we were about instructing our students. I remember one time a student preparing her instruments for sterilization. She took her gloves off and picked up the instruments in the sink, and I'm like, drop it. Like, think what you just did. You know, think about it. You just took your gloves off and you touched the contaminated instrument. So,
right.
You know, it takes a while with that learning curve. You know, some people get it quicker than others, but, you know, those things happen.
So why do you think people don't take dental care seriously? I mean, look at, we know that people in the nursing profession, we see the elderly who may have ill-fitting dentures and they lose weight. We see people mm-hmm. with healthcare problems like heart conditions and, like you said, taking medications that leave a bad taste in their mouth and they have dry mouth and things like that. And mm-hmm. then for some reason, we focus so much on the physical health, and we should. We also focus on mental health, and we should. But dental health, to me, is right up there with the rest of them. What has happened to where we don't have politicians, doctors, lay people like us, just everyday folks to just get up and say, well, I'll just brush my teeth and go around, but there's more to it, correct?
There is, and I think we're doing much better than we were, say, 25 years ago. I think there's more awareness that has been brought to attention. I think even the manufacturers of dental products like Crest, Colgate, with their ads on TV, they use it to market. You're not healthy without good oral health, so use this product. You know, they're using it as a marketing play, but that's also educating the public. I think for a lot of people that have not had good access to dental care, they never learned the values as a child. You know, we should be taking our children to the dentist at 1 year old to look at those beginning primary teeth, and many parents don't know that. So, and unless you've started it with a dental office that is seeing you regularly, you do not develop those values. Unless you're brushing your teeth with your children, they're not seeing that you're doing that as something that needs to be done, because they will model. They follow what we do. We're their role models.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a lack of education that, you know, when you're in a socioeconomic deprived area, there's not a dentist available in your county. We have two counties in Florida who don't even have a dentist.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
So we've tried to initiate the dental therapist legislation. So we have that person that is a licensed professional that can go to rural areas.
I think Joe wants to jump in here. Joe has a question for you
as
well.
Yes, so Linda, we've worked very hard on the dental therapy bills, and we still didn't get anywhere this year. So what do you think are the next steps? Where are we going to go next? I mean, the one encouraging thing is that autonomy for nurse practitioners got through this year. So I just wonder what the next steps are, because definitely many organizations, and with the league, we're really on this, and we're willing to support this.
Right. There actually are, I think we now have about 70 nonprofit organizations that support this legislation, and there's only one that does not, and they have a great deal of money, and that would be the Florida Dental Association. We now have 8 states that have licensed dental therapists and good data to show how they have increased access to care. What is the next step? We keep fighting for it. You know, everybody that's listening, talk to your dentist about it. Some may not even be aware that this is being blocked legislation. These are trained professionals. They're accredited through the American Dental Association. So, you know, there is strict guidelines about the curriculum for a dental therapist. It would be very much like a physician assistant, a nurse practitioner. They have advanced education, and they're tested and trained and licensed to perform functions where people don't have access to a dental office.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just communication and getting the education out so people are aware, and they will vote for it. I mean, us people in here who are voting in November, we all need to know
right.
who we're voting for and who supports
right.
common sense legislation. I mean, we're just asking for common sense approaches to cleaning teeth, for God's sake, you know, keeping
right.
people safe.
Right.
Safe. So, Linda, we have like maybe a minute or two left. And what is the daily self-care routine? What would you say is more important to do during the COVID-19 outbreak? What's happening right now?
I, I think this gives us an opportunity to be even more meticulous about our oral care. You know, you're home with your children in many instances right now. So good time for a learning lesson to be put in there for children as part of their homeschooling package. There are many sites, like I said, the Crest, the Oral-B, Colgate, American Dental Association, American Dental Hygiene Association that have wonderful resources. Even you can print out little coloring pads for kids to color from. So I think that provides a great opportunity. What needs to be done on a daily self-care? Power toothbrushing and electric toothbrush always does a better job in many, many research studies than a manual toothbrush. Brush every surface of every tooth. Clean in between the teeth. Use a water pick. Use a dental pick, whatever it takes to get in there and break up that biofilm that is holding all those pathogenic or dangerous bacteria that cause disease. So it needs to be done on a regular basis. Within 24 hours, you have disease-producing bacteria building in that biofilm. So you can't just do it, you know, on weekends or on Sunday before you go to church. It has to be done in a very
So you would take the, when people tell us to practice hygiene, not just washing hands, but brush your teeth and brush your tongue. Some people don't do that. By my mother, I see Jo shaking her head. It must be a British thing because in Trinidad, they always tell you, wash your tongue as well. And a lot of people don't. Even when the babies are little, we had to take a warm washcloth and wash their tongues out too.
Right, right. Because bacteria grows on the tongue just as it does in the mouth.
So, Linda, before we leave, are you hearing that anyone in the dental profession or people that you taught before having difficulty finding the equipment, the personal protection equipment that they need during this coronavirus dreadful time?
I've not heard of that because offices are only staying open for emergencies. So, I'm on several sites on social media. I did hear initially when they were still treating a full, schedule of patients, there were some major concerns. They couldn't get masks. Everybody was backordered on them, for instance. Instead of ordering five cases, they could order five boxes. So I'm not sure currently, with everybody closing down and seeing only emergencies, if that still is the case.
Well, thank you so much, Linda, for calling in and sharing your wisdom with us. I've posted everything on our Facebook page, the American Dental Association, and Oral-B. Actually, Oral-B is giving some discounts, so it would be great for people to go and check that out. But thank you so much for calling in, and thank you to Ruth Lambert for sponsoring this part of the segment with Joe Shim and with Linda Muhlenberg.
And for Maggie Baird for calling in.
And for Maggie Baird for calling in. And all of that information is posted right underneath the show posting under CETA Media Inc. on Facebook and also CETAMediaInc.com. And once again, CETA, another fantastic week of fantastic guests. And we'll see everyone next week on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends right here at 1 o'clock.
God has called us to this time and this place. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. It's clear from history that our Christian forebears ran into the plagues with the love and care of Christ. What's not as clear is how in this age, of which social distancing is a very real and necessary way to love our neighbors, and when professional medical personnel can better care for the sick, how we should run into this plague of the coronavirus. That's why I invited Ed Stetzer of the Billy Graham Center to join me tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for a free webinar, How Christians Can Love Their Neighbors.